This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
There really is no denying that costs are increasing in every aspect of life, and it is being felt by many sectors. None more so than property developers, who are also tasked with ensuring sufficient affordable homes are built for the people, in addition to other projects they are undertaking. In the Real Estate and Housing Developers Association's recent survey covering the first 6 months of 2017, many of its respondents say high construction cost, high land cost, the non-availability of suitable land, and the lack of incentives are the top three challenges in providing affordable housing. RERA President Dato' Sri F.D. Iskandar agrees and also points the finger at major infrastructure companies that provide water and electricity.
I think it is the cost, the compliance costs, and the expectation and demand of everybody. I think we want to help to build affordable homes. RERA as a whole, our stand is, but in helping us to do and achieve that, you have to be fair to us. You can't keep on increasing your conversion premium charges. You can't keep on increasing your development charges, your IFS, and keep on introducing new things, new policies, to take some fees off us. That's one. Secondly, like I said, you have this major infrastructure companies. I don't want to talk about other things. I just want to talk about water and electricity. These companies, I've put it on record, making record profit year after year. Yet, they are putting in a lot more charges onto us, putting on a lot more levy. And I've explained before this, let's say 20 years ago, anything within our development, it is our responsibility to build, to pull the water pipes, to pull the electricity cables and whatnot. But now, they're even asking us to pull from the next available supply. We have to pull the water pipes. We have to pull the cables and whatnot. This costs a lot of money, not only within our... And on top of that, we have to surrender land. We even have to build the shell for their substations. We have to build the reservoir. So these are things that they're asking us to do. At the end of the day, we have to pass this on to the consumers. Yet we are the ones who are getting them, the customers. They should also assist with the upfront costs, because these are all upfront costs. You know? So things like this that I think that the government must look at, give a lower tax rate for people who are building affordable homes, give higher density or plot ratio. So all these things helps, you know. Definitely developers also need to play the part. And developers also need to know, hey, this is for affordable homes, okay, this is my margin. I will make it from this other side because it's cross-subsidy. But now how can you talk about cross-subsidization when we cannot sell the open market one? There's not been any movement in the open market, as you know, for the last 18, 24 months, Ken.
Property developers are required to provide a certain number of units classified as affordable or even low cost, and this differs from state to state as land comes under the respective state government. And even this policy is different, with some states merely requiring a ringgit value to be set aside for future affordable homes projects rather than building actual units. It is this non-uniformity that F.D. Iskandar is concerned about, because this may result in many units built in locations where no one wants to live.
Well, basically, I'm talking about the location. When we are asked to build affordable homes, we are asked to build affordable homes across board. Whether you are in a location where there is demand or not, you're asked to. This is the standard regulation or policy by state government. What I am saying, have one authority, in this case NAPIC, do proper research. You might not say, okay, I don't have the capacity to do proper research, but you can collect the data. This is what I said, the big data, which is very, very important. In a place like Bukit Beruntung, for instance, is there demand for this type of properties? I think a lot of people have said no. So don't ask us to build low-cost homes there or low-medium cost. But we're not running away from our responsibility. What we're saying is we will contribute a certain amount for this units that we don't build in that area, paid to the state government also. State government have got, that means we have got the funds. So state government can take this money and build in areas where there's demand. The biggest landowners in the state is the state government. So they have the land, they don't have the capital, the developers pay them capital. So in lieu of not building low cost in certain areas, actually low cost also you shouldn't ask private developers to build anymore. But like I said, we're not running away from the responsibility. In lieu of not paying, of not building, we pay. Let's say an X amount of contribution. So this amount of contribution, let's sit down. Different locality, probably different amount.
With differing opinions about where affordable housing is needed, it is timely that the government is now planning to set up a single entity to manage affordable housing issues in Malaysia. Second Finance Minister Dato' Sri Johari Abdul Ghani has also acknowledged that currently, even what is considered affordable differs from agency to agency and from one developer to another.
We want to come up with a real meaning of affordable. Affordable means kita nak kena tengok market kita ni, what is the level that the first-time house buyer want? So I think we need to relook at that.
Khazanah Research Institute's Director of Research, Dr. Suraya Ismail, who was on the property show in June, also acknowledges there is no agency to decide where such affordable homes are needed, but that the process of setting one up is ongoing.
So what we are trying to do here now is to ensure that proper planning of where the supply should be is done at the city level. We are also propagating this idea of a national housing survey, as well as what is the suitable land that people might want to buy and where do they want to buy and live and reside and work and play. So I think that is important, this really good planning and managing of incoming stock of housing, the vacant rates of certain neighbourhood, as well as planning for the renting population. These are the indicators or these are the research that should be done, survey should be done by government agencies. And this will then give the idea for consumers of houses as well as property developers to then know where should we really build. Because currently, it's a hit or miss thing.
FD Iskandar agrees and is supportive of any agency's move to collate data that can be used to benefit everyone in the industry.
Well, we've been telling them we have to have this research house to come up with the facts and figures and the statistics. So if today it is Khazanah Research who is doing that, I hope that they will engage RADAR and we can work together. And I think it's a start. It's a start to see. Cause I've been talking about this big data for the last few years. Even when I think you guys interviewed me a couple of years ago, live over the air, I spoke about big data and how important it is for us to have all these numbers before a decision can be made. At this moment in time, we keep on telling our members, please do your research, please do proper study before you launch. But they can do their research and their studies on their own. But the big numbers, the big data is still not there.
Meanwhile, RADAR remains in constant contact with approving authorities from the local to the state until the federal level. And these engagements remain crucial.
I think, to be fair, federal government do engage with us on a very regular basis. Of course, they have not given us everything, but some of the things we found some leeway to move forward. State governments, some state governments are very proactive, some state governments are not. Local authorities, it's the same category. You know, some local authorities can be very proactive, like DBKL. At least they sit down, they listen and whatnot. Whether we get what we want is something else. Usually we don't, but at least there was an engagement session, which I think is very important. Because, like I said, you want to provide affordable homes. You need a total holistic steps, approach to reach this. That means federal government must play their part, State government, very importantly, must play a part. Local governments play a part. Banks must play the part. Developers must play the part.
When we come back on the Property Show, we will ask Dato Sri F.D. Iskandar, REDA's president, about what he thinks about the government's move to encourage more developers to adopt industrialized building system initiatives as a way to reduce construction costs. BFM 89.9. We are back on BFM 89.9's The Property Show, where this week we talked with the Real Estate and Housing Developers Association's president, Dato Sri F.D. Iskandar. Recently, the government's move to crack down on foreign workers, especially undocumented ones, has left a vacuum of sorts in many industries. The construction industry felt it, with F.D. Iskandar saying the effect went beyond just the loss of labour. It was the loss of skilled and trained labour.
Definitely there is a negative impairment on that. And for those guys who have worked in Malaysia for, 5-6 years, we've trained them. When they came, most of them don't know anything about construction. They came as farmers mostly. After 6 months or a year, we train them. They can be bar benders, can be bricklayers, roof tilers and whatnot. The problem, once the government said there's too many foreign labourers, we also agree. Not only in the construction industry, in other industries as well. But these are people that you've trained for 4-5 years from nothing. And you take them out, you know, you have to send them back. What do? They go and work in Singapore, they go and work Dubai. Malaysia becomes a training ground for them. So who's losing out? It's us. You cannot just remove them just like that from the system.
And it is for that reason the industry in general has been heading towards more automation, the Industrialized Building System Initiatives, IBS. The government is encouraging more developers to adopt IBS in their projects as a way to reduce cost. Here is what F.D. Iskandar thinks.
Right now, you have the conventional method of doing construction. You have the automated one, IBS. Until today, the conventional way of doing construction is still somehow 20, from the surveys that we've done, is about 20% cheaper. For now. That can be because of a few reasons. Maybe you don't have enough system. You don't have enough labourers who understand those systems and whatnot. So we support the government's intention going to IBS. But I think a proper, more realistic time should be given. Instead of saying, I want it by next year, let's see a 5 years time frame. That's one. Secondly, for those people who want to go into IBS, please give them the incentives, tax rebates, give them other things. Two, education. Please educate the contractors. By doing this, you'll get lesser, our dependence on foreign labourers will be lesser. So come up with a comprehensive, let's say 5 years, you must come out, but because of this, we'll give you incentive. We give you rebates. I think it can work. But definitely, because of the huge infrastructure projects that we are doing now, the whole country is seeing MRT, now going to MRT3 and whatnot.
So it is agreed that going more automated is a way to overcome a labour shortage, which is one of the reasons why the government is keen to push this agenda forward and why the Construction Industry Development Board plans to make it mandatory for IBS to be incorporated in private sector projects in 3 years' time. So what is keeping acceptance rates so low?
At this moment in time, I think the acceptance rate is probably about 50%. Why I say that? Because in the study, a lot of developers have came back to REDA and said that the conventional cost is cheaper, 20 to 25% cheaper, until today. So definitely they will use the conventional cost because now cost is under pressure. But that doesn't mean that we are not going to support. Like I said, REDA is supporting IPS. But what we are saying is, don't come up with a policy, then you say, I want to do this tomorrow or next year. Have a proper blueprint, 5-year blueprint. You know, one minister is saying, I want to do it in 2 years. One minister is saying 3 years. One minister is saying next year. Engage the stakeholders. Let's see whether you have enough machine, the supply or not. Secondly, the system. Right now, I know quite a few are building Gamuda. They're building their own factory for the system. One China, mainland China company is building one in Johor. But that's the components. The system today is still being imported. And you're not getting any tax relief or tax incentive on this. So what happens? You don't have enough economies of scale. So once you say you have 5 years, okay, now it's 2017. by 1st October 2022, for instance, we are going for 70% IBS for this category above a certain floor plate, above a certain built-up, above a certain value, 70 or 75% must be IBS. But for you, between now to 2022, if you do this, I give you tax incentive. I give you rebate. I give you this fund to train your workers and whatnot. I tell you, a lot of people will come. And by 2022, or even before that, when they see this economies of scale, and the cost is about the same or even cheaper, definitely, automatically, they'll choose IBS instead of conventional.
For property developers in general, the costs for their projects come from three main categories: land, construction, and compliance. So while adopting more IBS in their projects may solve a part of how much they end up spending on a particular development, it is not the major expense.
You see, land cost is the biggest cost, but the land costs have been quite steady. It's not like 3-4 years ago where it goes up 15, 20, 30%. Now, it's either stabilized or it goes up a little bit, like 2, 3%, which is healthy. You need that. If you know, you don't want to buy a house, 3 years down the road, your house is still the same. For the whole economic system, that's not good. What can be controlled is the compliance cost. Even the construction cost, you can control some of it, but some is beyond you. If steel prices in the world, people are paying 2,000 ringgit per ton on average, you, if you pay 1.8 or 2.2, you have to accept plus or minus 5 to 10%. But if other people paying 1,008, you are paying 2,008 because of a compliance cost, that's something that can be removed. Conversion premium, that's something that can be controlled. Development charges, a lot of things can be controlled. So those are the things that, let's be serious, let's be honest, let's be realistic. You want to do affordable homes? Let's sit down and remove all this first. If not remove, at least lower it down. You know, if you don't say, state government say, no, I'm not going to listen to you, even though federal government have given instruction, because they said state is a land matter, why should I listen to you? So everybody has to play a part.
This means more engagement with the government, and RADAR is continuously on that. Among issues that have come up is reviewing the 6% GST regime, especially on materials affecting the affordable housing sector.
We are engaging. We've already mentioned it to them. I think we'll keep on engaging with them. We'll keep on making our presentations to them. Definitely, if you're building something for the affordable segment, I think you should give some form of relief. Either waive it, you know, zero rated doesn't work. So probably for only a certain segment, one segment, affordable homes, then you create more and more people will willingly, without being forced, to build affordable homes in locations that need affordable homes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.